and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, it is great. It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, July 15th, 2021.
You are correct.
And joining us today is the one and only Heidi Thompson. Welcome, Heidi. Heidi Thompson. I almost forgot her last name. I mean, there's just so much confusion there about it.
Good morning. It's great to be here today.
It's great to have you with us.
Even though it's raining.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't raining on the way in. I think it's actually kind of blowing out, isn't it, Ron? So we're going to blow this weather out of here.
First.
Some sun tomorrow.
Sunny and 85 for the next 5 or 6 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I'll take it. That sounds awesome.
Jambalaya. We'll take it. So, love being here. We're going to be talking today about charitable giving. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. Think of this. Americans gave a record $471 billion to charity in 2020, an almost 4% increase from 2019. Well, I thought stuff, negative things were happening last year. How could people be giving more? Well, because they were motivated to give in spite of what was going on around them. And it just shows how much people are giving in these United States of America. $471 billion.
It says a lot of good things about the people of America.
It does. And the benefits of giving. Now, it's not just about the fact that you gave to the organization. I get that that can be important, and I'm not disrespecting that at all. But there are also other benefits that can arise as well. And some of the things you want to avoid as possible mistakes that you might do in your giving. But first, think of in terms of any charity that you might be involved in. It could be your local church. It could be Father Fred. It could be the Single Moms organization. What sorts of organizations would you possibly be interested in, and or what organizations could help you do with your money that you couldn't do on your own? Think about it in terms of leveraging. Well, Dennis, it's much bigger than that. We'll get into those conversations, or at least we'll try to today as well. Because, again, it's not just about the fact that you helped someone else along. That may be huge to you. It could be building a building where they'd never had it before. Personally, I think I mentioned the story of Mission India, the group that I've given to in the past, Jill and I have given to in the past. And they needed to build a building, and to make a long story short, the gentleman that was with us in the group challenged all the rest of us to give $1 million because he had just recently struck oil in a very big way. And after having talked to his son about that giving that he wanted to do, challenged all of us in that group to give $1 million. So, you know, frankly, we're all looking around at each other and saying, wow, what a huge opportunity. And at the same time, man, this is scary. It's scary. How are we going to, so what's it going to be the combination? You know, all those numbers that are going around in my mind and head.
$1 million.
Thank you, Ron. Perfect timing. So given that's what he said, we're all looking around at each other and saying, well, can we do this? Can we do it? And sure enough, we did. And that building stands to this day as a result of that. And that building has done a lot of good for that organization where previously we didn't even, well, the gentleman who ran the organization had given up. He'd given up on making that happen. So there's a much deeper story to that. So you may be able to achieve things that create memories and positive feedback that you never thought could occur. Now, that's not always the case. We get it. But you may be involved in those challenging situations where you say, well, you know, let us talk together about how we might do this, given this organization and what it's trying to achieve. We also did hear from an active person in the community, and I promised her I wouldn't mention her name yet because I haven't gotten, she just sent us an email, given the email blast this morning. She says in this, if everyone does a little together, we can make a huge difference. She's had a huge impact in terms of fundraising for the particular organization that she's a part of, and it's amazing what they have been able to achieve given that gifting from our local community and the organizations that are a part of it. So it doesn't have to be a faraway place that you benefit. It could be, again, Father Fred. It could be St. Jude's Children's Hospital. It could be other organizations that you have a personal interest in, if they're a 501c3 organization where you can take a huge deduction. Perhaps it's stock that you've seen appreciate over the years and you're rather uncomfortable about hanging on to it because it's a relatively large position in your portfolio. You love the dividends from it, but you don't want to take the risk of having that in your portfolio. You could theoretically give that stock to the organization, never have to pay any tax on the gain, get a full deduction for having given that stock to that organization, and then collect an income for the rest of your life. Well, what if I live till I'm age 95? Well, it's for the rest of your life. And that income may be 4, 5, 6%. All right? Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how you can leverage possibly what you never thought possible. Well, Dennis, what if it's $100 I want to give to the local, you know, whatever organization? You can do that through possibly an IRA QCD, which Heidi brings up every once in a while in our conversations. So it doesn't have to be $1 million. It can be a much smaller amount.
And there's several things that can put you in a position that maybe you can give to charities that maybe you weren't able to before. One is we've had a really good market for a long, long time. So maybe some of those projections that you made much earlier, you've done or exceeded those expectations. And so you have that room in your portfolio. And also, there's a lot of people who are transitioning into retirement right now with the baby boomers. So they're selling their businesses, and all of a sudden they have that influx of cash that they haven't been in that position before, that they need those strategies.
You need some deductions, possibly. You want to help the organization, but Dennis, it can help us too. Tell me about that. Speak to your accountant. Speak to a good accountant about what those deductions might be, as well as a good financial advisor. Hint, hint. So you may be helped.
Very subtle.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't help it. But given what you might do, I had a conversation with a gentleman the other day. I said, you know, we can give you an outline of the 4 or 5 things that you might participate in. And then, you know, frankly, the accountant can help clarify those and or answer those too in terms of an overall strategy. So the wise person seeks counsel. If you're going to war, seek several persons of counsel to do that same thing. That's kind of from Proverbs, okay? So if you're looking to do something perhaps bigger than you dreamed possible, speaking to that particular standpoint, to that particular idea, get several advisors to help you in that. What are the positives? What are the negatives of having done this? If I'm going to do this before, if I want to get the full deduction, you're going to have to get some of these things in place or in force now, given that tax brackets may be coming up. What do I mean by now? Well, it's July, of course. So you don't want to wait until December to begin planning this. So try, if you can, to think about this before the fact and start getting these things possibly in force maybe the fall of this year because you've started the planning now to get these sorts of things. Well, I anticipate I might sell the business. If you're anticipating that, you can put some awesome programs in force that would allow you not possibly to pay some of the tax on those gains. Especially if you've got gains on property or assets that have almost no cost basis. What does that mean? It means you're going to pay a lot of tax, okay? Because you have very little basis or cost related to that particular asset. And at the same time, you don't want to pay an over amount of tax. Well, to be an anti to that, we want to give it to our children. We've always had a goal to give that to the children. What could we do about that? You might want to take a certain slice of that particular pie and give that anyway to that organization and then saddle them with the administration of that. How would you do that? Get them directly involved. They might have more of an interest than you know or knew. Talk with your children. Would you have an involvement in getting helping with this charity, given that your mother and I exit the scene? Oh, yeah, Dad and Mom, we'd love that. You know, you never know what that conversation may be like. Now they might say, well, no, we want all the money. Well, I get that conversation too. But given that they don't and they want to be involved, you might be surprised at the result. So, you see, you can plant a garden where you might have plants like we saw last night. You're just shocked at how they're growing in this kind of weather. Yes, Heidi.
And Dennis, it's not an all or nothing proposition. You can give a portion of your portfolio to charity and the rest to the family. But it is something to think about and to use it to your benefit for tax strategies and other opportunities to be the most efficient with those hard-earned dollars that you have.
It's amazing. Sometimes, when you begin this sort of planning, all of a sudden the opportunity presents itself where you say, well, I had no idea, that this organization was going to start this building program or whatever it might be. And here they're asking for these gifts, and we've created a strategy to help us do that that we hadn't even considered. Can be extremely powerful, and you probably get it. I love talking about this. It is near and dear to my own heart because I've seen clients do these sorts of things. You know, not even a majority percentage of our clients. It may be much smaller amounts. It may be much more private amounts. But still, if we are involved to that extent, you'd be surprised how cost-efficient many of these organizations can be in helping manage this, speaking specifically of St. Jude's and or Hillsdale. Amazing the forces that they can marshal together to help give you good, fantastic, specific advice that you perhaps hadn't taken advantage of or didn't even know existed. So avoiding charitable IRA beneficiary mistakes in five easy steps. Let's dive into this. You know, giving. Name the charity directly on your beneficiary form. The money will go directly to the charity, avoiding both the time and expense of probate. Additionally, the distribution to the charity will not be considered income to the estate. That's your estate when you're gone. Okay. Of the deceased IRA owner. Oh, really? So I can give that direct, yes. We've obviously talked about it in the past, but you may not have known those details because this is direct from Mr. Ed Slott. Thank you, Ed.
And you can have multiple beneficiaries on the same IRA. So you can have family members and name a charity as well.
If you have $1 million estate.
$1 million.
And you leave $500,000 to Hillsdale College. No, to whatever group you want.
Mm-hmm.
Your estate then is valued at $500,000, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So that takes it directly out of the estate. And nice, right?
Yep.
And it avoids fully the tax. So all those gains on that IRA, which are just ordinary income, the worst sort of income that any account will tell you can have, accountant rather, will tell you that you want to have is ordinary income. It's extraordinarily expensive. Okay? Just in case you wanted to know. Thank you, Dennis. Number two, set up separate accounts. Consider transferring the portion you intend to leave to the charity into a separate IRA account. Well, honey, you know, you're the primary beneficiary of this account, but the charity is contingent. So for that amount, let's say it's $50,000 that you want to give to that particular charity when you pass away, she, in this case, could say, you know, I'm going to, what's she going to say, Heidi?
Disclaim.
Disclaim that asset and have it go direct to the charity just because, not to make a joke of it, but I will anyway, even though you're gone, she still likes you in this case, okay? Or she can say, you know, I don't feel comfortable. She may say that, which you know as well, or he. You know, we can do she or he there, can we not?
We can.
Either of them, yes, can say, I don't feel comfortable. I'm not feeling comfortable with giving the full 50, but I'd like to do 10,000 to that charity. Because, I need the money. You can do that with a partial disclaimer as well. Correct, Heidi? Just
that
to make sure,
correct.
Dennis has got it right. Thank you. Amazingly powerful. Because you simply named the charity as contingent beneficiary on that fully tax-infested IRA. Now, that, in baseball parlance, is hitting a home run. That's home run ball. Well, Dennis, I'm going to live another 30 years. I get it. But if you don't, could be powerful. So obviously some of that is longer-term planning. Set up separate accounts, one way to do it. Number three, reverse your bequests. I'm not sure what that means. Let's read that together, shall we? If you've made provisions for certain charities under your will. So you want to give, to XYZ Church $10,000 through a bequest from your will. And you also have retirement plans, an effective tax strategy could be to reverse the bequest with non-retirement assets. What does that mean? This way, the charity receives the same amount that you're going to leave them in your will, but your heirs will end up with more because the money they will inherit will not be subject to income tax. What does that mean, Heidi? Explain that to us.
It means that if you have funds that aren't in the IRA, maybe those would be better assets to pass on to your heirs, because they wouldn't be paying that income tax level when they withdraw, versus leaving them part of the IRA, where when they take the money out of the IRA, they'd have to pay income tax. So it's what is the tax on this different kind of money that you're playing with there?
So the dollar amount's the same to the charity. It's $10,000 in the IRA or $10,000 in the cash that came through the estate through liquidating an asset, which is better for your heirs, in essence, to give to that charity. Well, the money that's never taxed, right? Or has a huge step up in basis and is, in essence, not taxable to them. So in some cases, this can be extremely powerful in terms of saving the tax money. Well, you know, I do have a 401k. I guess I could I name a contingent beneficiary as a charity on the IRA and the 401k? What do you say to that, Heidi?
Yes.
I'm putting her on the spot here a lot, and she's a good sport about it. So, amazing. It doesn't have to just be an IRA. Four, don't convert assets you plan to leave to a charity. What does that mean? Convert them to a Roth and pay the tax. If you intend to leave that money to charity, it's going to depend also on whether or not you're going to use it for income. So given that there's a 30-year life expectancy, it could still make sense. So this information, always sit with an appropriately qualified advisor before you do any of this on your own. Great disclosure, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Five, beware of naming a charity as a trust beneficiary. A charity is known as a non-designated beneficiary because it does not have a life expectancy. Since a charity has no life expectancy, if it is named as a beneficiary of a trust that is also inheriting an IRA, it can require the remaining trust beneficiaries to take distributions earlier than otherwise would have been required because of the limits under the law in terms of distributing to the trust, and thus causing the other, the children in this case, to have to take over a much more advanced strata, much quicker time frame. We'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. All right. Next, before we've gotten into some real detail there, but we also want to cover some points that Heidi has to make here. Let's do that, shall we? But Ron has something to say. No. Okay, good. He's just making sure that mic's going to work. Thank you. Go, Heidi.
Okay. Well, my topic today is we have a mid-year checkup on required minimum distributions. And if you remember, required minimum distributions are the amount that when you reach a certain age, you're required to take out a certain portion of all your traditional IRAs or 401k amounts each year. So June 30th this year is the cutoff date when the transition to the Secure Act age of 72 with the RMD rule becomes complete. Prior to the Secure Act, the rule was 70 and a half, and the Secure Act changed that age to 72. So it put some people in that weird position for a couple of years where, you know, do I need to take it? So the basic rules on that was anyone born after June 30th of 1949 falls under the Secure Act and you use age 72 for your RMDs. Anyone born on or before June 30th of 1949 stays under the pre-Secure Act age of 70 and a half. So just to throw confusion into all this, because they passed the Secure Act in 2019 in December, so then the pandemic came and we got the CARES Act. Well, the CARES Act waived all the RMDs for 2020, regardless of the individual's age. So that just made everything harder to remember, because maybe you were going to have to start, but then you didn't have to start because of the CARES Act. So another confusing portion is there is a difference between the first distribution year and the year in which a person takes their first RMD distribution. They may not be the same. So what they're saying there is if you, in the first year that you're required to take an RMD, you have until April 1st of the year following to take that RMD. Exactly. So, but what things that some people should keep in mind is if you do delay taking that RMD, say this year, 2021, is the first year that you have to take an RMD. If you delay and take it before April 1st in 2022, from between January 1st and April 1st, then you will still owe, or you'll be still required to take out your 2022. So you're going to take like a double hit sort of thing. So you really want to check with your accountant or your financial advisor and see, is there some benefit to delaying or not? And that added to, that was part of the confusion with the CARES Act, because people who had not taken their RMD when the CARES Act was passed, and it wasn't April 1st yet, they didn't have to take it. So it just added to the problems. But now what we're trying to do is to get back on track. So for people who have a question about whether they need to take an RMD, I would go back to that birthday, and I'll say them again. Anyone born after June 30th of 1949, you're under the Secure Act and you use age 72. Anybody born on or before June 30th of 1949, you are still under the old rules, that 70 and a half rules for taking your RMD. So clear as mud, right?
It's great. Yeah. It's great. Some good advice, Heidi. We're at break time, are we not, Ron?
We are. Yes, we are.
All right.
Welcome back. And Shay Pataja, the Chief Experience Officer, is on Dennis's microphone. Oh, there's Dennis is now walking in the door. I'll give you a play-by-play here.
The two-mic situation is a nice little dance in here.
We have two mics and three people. What shall we do?
Do the math.
I'll step back. You can take my mic, and Dennis can have his mic back.
Okay, let's
Ready?
Do that.
Go.
Go.
There we are.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Go for it, Shay.
You ready for Shay Stats? All right. We talked about this last week when Dennis was gone. Heidi and I went pretty deep into the stats, and we talked about the employment situation. So this came up again today in Shay Stats. 3.99 million Americans quit their jobs in April of 2021, the largest monthly quit level recorded in U.S. history. And that's from the Department of Labor.
Wow.
And 24% of 2,000 American workers surveyed in late May of 2021 are planning on looking for a new job in the post-pandemic world. And that's from Prudential's Pulse of the American Worker Survey. Now, that's less than the stat I read last week, which said 41% with another survey. They're calling it the Great Resignation. 26% of the $137 trillion net worth held by Americans as of March 31st of 2021 is owned by U.S. citizens at least age 70.
What percentage was that again?
26%, I think.
Okay,
it said
26. We just call a quarter of the $27 trillion. Is that what you said?
$137 trillion. So they own $35 trillion. Yep, right there.
$137 trillion net worth held by Americans.
Wow.
Oh, that's a huge number.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's from the Federal Reserve. The use of marginal debt on the New York Stock Exchange.
Some people would say be nice to your elders, you know, when it comes down to that. Sorry, I'm back to that. A quarter of that wealth held by those over age 70.
So they have $35 trillion of that.
Mm-hmm. They've been savers. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Go.
The use of marginal debt on the New York Stock Exchange increased to $862 billion in May of 2021, the seventh consecutive month setting an all-time high. And that's from the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority.
Wow. Yeah. Just, it's amazing how it's growing. Amazing.
19% of Americans that have outstanding student loan debt from college are over the age of 50.
So. Wow, they've taken that long to pay off that student loan debt.
Well, maybe, but maybe they went back to school. So a lot of people go back to school to get another degree, and
that's
they're
a
working.
Fair assumption
and,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
So they borrowed some money to pay for it, whether it was a master's or whatever it might have been, for instance. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's just another theory, right?
Yeah.
18% of Americans with health insurance coverage through their employers who are rushed to a hospital emergency room end up incurring at least one out-of-network charge, and that's from the Peterson Center on Healthcare. We talked about that last week, too, Heidi and I, being afraid to go to the emergency room because of the cost.
Oh, yeah.
Two out of every five physicians. Now, this one is crazy to me, but two out of every five physicians, 40% in the United States today, will be at least age 65 within the next 10 years. So we're already seeing the amount of physicians that quit once the change in healthcare happened. Those that have decided to quit because of the pandemic. And now we're seeing the age situation happening. So
better be nice to your doctor, right?
Right, yes.
Wow, it's going to be tougher and tougher to find good help when it comes to figuring out our health.
Yeah. The complexity, that's from the complexities of physician supply and demand projections form 2019 to 2034. That's the source of that stat.
I've always wanted to be a doctor, but I hate science. Sorry, that's not going to work. Right. Okay.
Social Security requirements or retirement benefits are projected to increase 3.5% in 2022, a cost of living adjustment or COLA.
The COLA, 3.5% is the estimate?
That would be the largest since 2009.
5.3.
Yeah, you said 3.5. I did? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to blame the weather today. It's got me foggy.
She spun the number.
It's got me, yeah.
5.3.
Foggy. 5.3.
I'm glad that you have that, Ron. You're referencing.
You got, like, record. You got amazing vision over here. You can read. Oh, you've got.
He's
got his own notes. That's what's happening. All right. Well, anyways, the actual COLA bump will be announced in October of 2021 by the Social Security Administration. And the source for this is Mary Johnson, the Senior Citizens League.
So if your Social Security benefit is $1,000 a month and you get a 5% increase, how much is that?
$50
a month.
Bucks.
53 to 55, put a fine point to it, right? 5.3%.
That can go in the grandkid fund because my mom has that. You know, it's like it's starting. Yep.
Honey, don't expect anything more from this. This is going to all the grandchildren.
I know. I used to get gifts. Now they all go to the nieces.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you understand your place in the universe when the grandkids show up. It's just.
It's true. They're really cute.
It can't be helped. I remember going to see our parents when, you know, we had the children. And it was, obviously, they loved us, but we disappeared. It was like almost like we were invisible when we all came to their house. Hi, you guys, you know, all this. And it was all, they were all looking at the grandkids, you know, and it was all the big party.
I know, we say the nieces are coming and their parents.
Yeah, well.
That's what's happening now.
Fine point for that as well.
All right, there you go. There's your Shay stats.
Those are awesome. Boy, a lot to talk about in terms of stats, and it's very interesting to see the huge changes that are occurring in our economy in spite of some of the bad news that, I'll just say it, news organizations tend to feed on. There are also some very good things happening, and in terms of what individuals are doing, stat after stat in this article that just came out, and I was just listing stats and not specifics to the article itself, but from Investment News, the most recent dated July 12th of 2021, on charitable giving and the huge numbers. Another note here, another trend that began in 2020 and is continuing into this year is the growing number of sales of small businesses, which leave their former owners in a good position to pursue philanthropy. So it's one thing after another in terms of significant appreciated assets. And how do we plan for this? How do we help perhaps not only our children, but how do we help keep them with perspective in terms of that wealth and the responsibility that that brings? Because much of this, and those that started their own businesses get this, you can't teach. It's very difficult to teach your children all the pieces and parts and the pains as well as the gains that you achieved and that you had to get through to get where you're at now. Given that reality, being charitably minded may be another way to go about that, because then they'll be on those boards or those they'll be trustees, perhaps, of those accounts, and we'll have to step forward in the responsibility of helping to manage those assets, especially given that they're significant. Now, what's a significant number? It could be 100,000 for one. It could be 1 million for another, and 10 million for someone after that. So these numbers can be exponential in terms of size, but it's a great way to help your children, perhaps, gain that responsibility and respect for what you've accumulated. So it's amazing what can be done. All right, so something else to take into account this year as well. Time is running out, according to Ed Slott, for the Mega QCD in 2021.
Mega
QCD. Here's how it works. The AGI limit, or adjusted gross income limit, on tax deductions for cash gifts to charity is currently 100%. That means you get 100% deduction for having put that money in. But that ends at the end of this year. The CARES Act eliminated the prior 60% of AGI limit for 2020, and the COVID-related Tax Relief Act of 2020 extended this benefit through 21, however, resulting in tax deductions of up to 100% of AGI for cash gifts. What does it have to do with the qualified charitable distribution or the IRA distribution direct to charity? It is nothing directly, but combining these two provisions creates a mega QCD opportunity, allowing unlimited distributions from any retirement account, not just IRAs, to be given to a charity for 100% tax deduction for those who can itemize their deductions. So, for those in current, in certain income tax brackets, you may get more benefit out of giving that cash directly than having given it through a QCD in this case, okay?
Right, and this is like just a special circumstance for this year because of the CARES Act and the subsequent act that was passed that extended it through the end of the year. So this is unique
yes.
to 2021.
Now here's a great example. The owner of an IRA who wishes to make large charitable gifts could withdraw $1 million from his IRA, give that $1 million to a qualified charity, and receive a $1 million tax deduction, completely offsetting the income on the $1 million IRA distribution.
$1 million.
That's perfect. Whoever that guy is, I just like his comments. They're really helpful to me. It adds a really good point. So you see, where you're charitably minded and you have assets, talk about a great conversation to have with a tax advisor yet this year, where you're not, you have to think perhaps differently. And I tell certain clients this, and it's not meant to be a negative, but you just don't have the luxury to think like other people do sometimes. You just don't. You have to begin to think differently. If you've had that saving mentality and or you've got appreciated assets, that's where you begin to have these conversations that you're generally not going to have at a party. You just can't have those. You get it. But you have to begin to think differently about, wow, what we could do this. So obviously, you know, you've got to get that working in your own thought process. But if you've got enough for retirement, you've got it easily funded perhaps, that's a conversation where you can say, what could I do differently? Now, it's not a Warren Buffett type of conversation where perhaps you've got billions of dollars. But Warren Buffett had these conversations too, and he is giving the majority of his estate to charity. Is he doing that because that's an expensive proposition? No way. He's doing it because his estate will save on any given day, let's just use a wide swath of possibilities there, $30 to $50 billion in estate tax. Some real money, okay? In your case, if you could save hundreds of thousands, given where estate taxes may go this year, they may be cut dramatically in terms of the amount allowed to pass without estate tax, which means, in essence, the estate tax most likely will be going up here and pretty significantly in the next year or so. We'll see. But it has a pretty good potential of happening, given all the new tax proposals. And then if these assets are taxed as they appreciate, which could be the new law, that could be another reason to be more charitably inclined. So you see, this is where you may want to begin to have these conversations earlier rather than later. You know, the clients that I see that do the best, just speaking philosophically about this sort of thing, they try to have these conversations before the fact. We don't know. We can't assess where things are going with that. But we can make an educated guess and at least have this conversation. Now, what if taxes are rising at this level? What could I do if I'm charitably inclined? That's a great open-ended question to have, because you can begin to arm yourself about what could we possibly do. Now, it doesn't need to be a high-level conversation. Again, it could be just for just about any amount, but especially for those who have significant gains in properties or businesses or other assets where you want to be able to not have to pay, or your children to have to pay all that tax, there may be strategies out there that you can employ. And they don't have to be, how to say it, blisteringly expensive. They don't have to be.
And there are a lot of strategies that can benefit you no matter where you are, whether you're just giving $1,000 to charity or whether you're giving hundreds of thousands of dollars. So there are different strategies that can benefit you at whatever level you're at. So you should ask your financial advisor or your accountant for some ideas on that.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.